Donna Patton, and I'm here with Pastor Josh Kreppel, and this is Jesus-Centric Leadership.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. We're excited what we get to talk about over the coming weeks. Today, though, we are talking about mission drift. And this is this reality in the mission of Christ that it's called not just some people, but it's called all of us to be part of what Jesus is doing. And so the big point that we want to make today is really that having a mission work, having Jesus-centric work relegated to just professional church workers, it really diminishes the role. But we believe when all Christians are involved in that, the mission gets really big. And that's what I'm excited about.
Why do you think it is that people kind of think it's the church worker, it's my pastor, it's my youth pastor's job to do the ministry, I'm just here on Sunday morning?
Yeah, so I think some of it has to do with actually our American history. And so just bear with me a few moments, but kind of going back to the 50s, back in the 50s, rock and roll was big. The first credit card came in. The space race started. Gas was 23 cents, right? Can you imagine that? 23 cents. And the suburbs also began to be a thing. And so once you move out into the suburbs, there's a lot that starts to change. And one of the big things was the churches, the size of a church began to grow. And so you go from churches that are literally just small and people would all walk there. So the size of the church was based on how many people could walk to church. Now you can drive to church. And so now a 15-minute drive isn't a big deal to go to church. And so the size of churches grow, meaning you can have more staff. So pause there for one moment. The other thing that started changing is we have the rise of the expert. And so you don't call a plumber. You used to not call a plumber. Now you do. You used to not have professional childcare. Now you do. Really, there's the rise of the professional in a lot of cases. Now, there are places where you have to have professionals, doctors, nurses. But now everything's now a profession. And that same thing came into the life of the church. So before, we had a pastor who couldn't do everything. Now we have this reality that we can have professional youth workers and professional music people. And so what happens is you start to do that same thing. And really, it comes down to this idea, if someone else can do it better, I shouldn't be doing it. And I believe that's a big change in the life of the church, because that means if I'm not as good of a preacher as my pastor, I should never preach. And maybe not, but if I'm not as good at teaching about Jesus, I should just let the DCE raise my kids. Or if I can't do music as well as this person, I should get off the platform. And so when you have the rise of this professionalism, it makes it easier for other people to sit in the back seat, to say, let's let somebody else do it.
Yeah, I remember a time when my dad got upset because a lay person was reading to him, because he felt that was only the pastor could do that in church.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, there's some roles, like staff does have a big role in this, and we are, you know, we are theologically trained at a higher level, but that doesn't mean that other people can't do things that are really integral to the life of the church and really integral to the ministry of Jesus. The question I want to ask you, though, is how many times did Jesus say in the Bible, come follow me?
That's a tough one. You put me on the spot. I'm going to say 20 times?
Really close, 22.
Wow.
Yeah, and my second part of that question is, what did he mean when he said, come follow me? What do you think the big part of that was?
Well, I think he wanted them to emanate what he was doing in community, in relationship, in his heart and passion for ministry.
Yeah, it's a come follow me is almost an all-in term, that there wasn't kind of this halfway. There wasn't kind of this, I'll give you this little part, but not this little part, right? And a lot of times when we think come follow me, we jump to like fishers of men, or we jump to, but it's not just that. It is being fishers of men. It is called to share the gospel, but more so than that, it's called to be all in. Do you remember the awkward, weird song, The Hokey Pokey?
Yes.
Right. I put my right hand in. I put my right hand out. Right. Like a lot of times I think we treat Christianity as kind of this, I'm going to put a little bit of myself in with Jesus, but not necessarily all of myself. And I think that's a big challenge, because there's a lot in this world. Right. But what does it mean to put my whole self in and not just a part of it?
Okay. That sounds really good, because we work in the church.
Yep.
But to somebody who's listening right now, the first thing they might be thinking is, I don't have time.
Yeah.
How do we do that in a world that is taking every bit of our time?
Yeah, so I think it begins by beginning to think about how we think about ministry and think about our time. I think it's easy, like, as Christians, and I think the church is at fault for this, and probably I am too, but I think we think about, like, ministry as being a cog in the wheel of what my church is doing, or a cog in the machine.
Right.
So, like, what it means by a cog is a little part of the machine. And so I think sometimes we oversimplify ministry to say, well, ministry is what I do at my church, how I'm a part of the machine. So I play drums on Sunday morning once a month. That's how I'm a piece of the machine of the church. And don't get me wrong, like, that's highly valuable. We need people to be a part of the ministry that we're doing at Peace with Christ. Why? Because we are speaking Jesus. We are bringing people into our community that don't know Jesus. So I don't want to say that that's not important. But when we relegate ministry to just being a cog in the wheel, we miss all the other places that we're called to ministry. And so, like, just for me personally, like, I'm paid to do ministry, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week, right? Like, that's my job. But my ministry doesn't stop when I go home, when I take off the pastor hat and put on the dad hat. It continues. And so as you go out into your place of employment, as you're with your family, as you're with your friends, how do you begin to think about yourself as being in ministry with Jesus in those places, not just when you show up to church?
Yeah, and we've seen the micro of that in student ministry for a long time.
Yeah, talk about that.
It's really easy for me on Sundays to come to youth group and to live and to speak in these ways that I really want my life to line up with and what God's calling me to. But then I get on the football field and I leave that hat behind and I'm putting on my football helmet and that's who I am, or who I am in a classroom, or who I am with my parents. We see it very segmented. Mm. And I think the blessing of it is when we start seeing it all as one, you know, where God is and how he's moving in all of our life in the totality, then we're not segmenting our life.
Yeah, right. And it goes back to, I know that silly song, but the hokey pokey, right? Am I going to put that one hand in? And am I going to be a Christian when I come to church and I set up coffee, but then the rest of my life, like, I'm not?
Right.
Right. And that's what I really want to empower you to, is what Jesus is calling you to, is asking this question: how do you put your whole self into that? How do you begin to think about yourself in ministry all the time versus just putting a hand in?
So it's how we start thinking about it, and it's how we're praying about it, just that God opens our eyes and our heart to opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, again, Jesus' call is to come follow me. It's not listen to one podcast or read the Bible one time and you're going to have this all figured out. But it is this mindset change and this ability to begin to ask that question and then read the Bible through a new lens, walk into church through a new lens, walk into your work through a new lens.
Parent through a new lens.
Through the lens of not what's like. So I think one of the differences from like a disciple and just a person trying to get through life is who am I living for? What's my end goal? Is it to give God the glory in all things, or is it to give myself the glory, or maybe just to get through, right? I think sometimes we fall into that I'm just trying to get through. Well, what if we changed our mindset and just asked, like, in the midst of this hard, how do I give God the glory, which is easy to say, hard to live.
Yeah, my thought is, when you said that, what's my end goal? Who am I living for? We're also in an economy that's very hard.
Yeah.
Some people have a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of things, expectations and all. So reframe that again. How do I do that when I have so much and my time is so small?
Yeah, so I think it begins by asking yourself, where's your value, right? Like, I think that's the big question we have to ask. Where's my value? Is it in what I do? Is it in what's in the bank account? Is it in my successes? My where's my value? It's ultimately in Jesus, right? That he died for me, that he loves me, that he's forgiven me. And so I think that when we do that, that gives us the ability to almost have a little bit of a restart. So yes, I'm in debt today, but Jesus still loves me. And so how do I then begin to look at, well, what does Jesus say about my debt? What does he say about my family? What does he say about, because I think like when we begin to understand that my value is found in Jesus, it allows us to apply some of these things he's saying in our life in order to follow him better, yes, but in order to make my life a little different. Not necessarily easier. I don't want to use the word easy, but it'll make my life make a little more sense.
And you've been talking about this with value for a long time. People finding their value in other things other than Jesus. When we all start finding our value in Jesus, how does that change you as a dad? How does that change you as a husband? How does that impact you as a friend, Pastor?
Yeah, I think that's a hard question, but a really good one. I think the start of it is the ability to come back from failure. I think that's really the big one. What is my ability to come back from failure? So when I fail as a dad, what do I do? Do I just throw up my hands and say, well, I'm a bad dad, that's all it is? Or do I say, well, I failed here, but that's not who I am in Christ Jesus. Now I have a restart. I have a chance to live in the love of Jesus Christ. Like there's a sense that whenever we see a cross on the wall, it's not just a piece of artwork. It's actually a chance to restart. So when I've messed up in my house as a dad, I look to the cross on the wall. I remember what Jesus Christ did for me. That's a restart. Like Christ has taken that guilt and shame and put it on the cross. And then that gives me the freedom to try again without the guilt of knowing what I did. Christ died with that guilt. He hates that guilt. He wants it to be gone. He wants the shame over with. And so I get that chance to restart. And then again, I do restart out of that love of Christ. How can I do this differently? How is Christ calling me to be a better parent? But I think it does so without that shame or guilt of the past, with the freedom of who can I be? Yeah.
Good. We really, our goal in the Jesus-centric leadership is to always bring it back, always kind of give our leaders, our listeners, kind of a nugget to walk away with. So bringing it back to the mission drift, how does this all work, and what do you really want our listeners today to walk away with?
Yeah, so it's really, again, to say it, it's having the mission work, having what Christians do, and that's what we mean by mission work, having what Christians do relegated just to professional church workers makes the mission small. But when we have a mission where all Christians are in, where they see their mission together to follow Jesus, that is very, very helpful for them as a church. And I think it's something that we get to do.
Yeah.
Not that we have to do. Like your salvation isn't tied up in this, but we get to do it. We get to begin to look at every interaction, everything I do, as a chance to be on mission. And I think when we can begin to look at the mission of God as all of our lives, the mission of God becomes really big. And it also is this, like we hear the church is shrinking, right? Well, it doesn't have to. It can grow exponentially if we begin to think outside the walls of the church. So what you do is mission work. We equip you. When you come to worship here, we equip you, but then we send you out to do mission work, to do ministry wherever you're at.
Yeah, I really like how you frame that we get to be on mission. And I love watching you and your wife, Sarah, really live that out with your family in your community. I mean, you guys really see yourself as missionaries, and you bring that grace and that love to your neighbors. And it's really great to see.
Yeah, and it's fun, and you know, and you do it too. Even just, you know, you bought your last house, choosing to be close to church. Like that's, you know, that puts you into a smaller segment of population, smaller neighborhoods, right?
Right.
But you chose to do that because you saw that as an outpouring of who you are, and it's really we have to begin by being intentional, because we get to do it. We get to live on mission with Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to wrap up today. And I want to thank you for your time. And we want to thank you for listening today. And we look forward to our next Jesus-centric leadership. Have a great day.